Frogcast. The Frogcast.
Are you part of this masturbator?
He is a tyrant gay.
That's because people like me when I'm wearing things.
Yeah, suck his jeans.
Oh, yeah, you don't need to tell me.
Yes, that day is finally here. Frogcast 100, we made it, guys.
Oh my god!
When we were just little kids, before we'd even met, I said one day I'm going to be on a podcast called The Frogcast, and it's going to make it towards 100.
Before a day where you pictured Willem Dafoe propositioning you for oral sex.
Those were dark times, I don't want to relive them.
So we got a great show. This is your Ear Rapist, Ben. We have super blogger Vince.
That's me.
Of course, Brendan's in the house.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Microphone Mike Michelson.
Mike Microphone!
We're going to have a lot of fun with this one. We got a full space docket of guests. We have Laramie, of course. We're going to have Halpern on. We're going to have Bernsey. And we are also going to have Ufford. Matt Ufford on.
That's right.
Yes.
All those people.
100 episodes, you guys.
We did it.
We fucking rocked it.
They said we couldn't.
So, every podcast reviewer said no way they make it to 100. And look at us, standing strong.
There was a lot of doubters.
No way did they think this Broner-biting fiasco could ever make it. Well, look at us now.
Look at us now.
These jeans, anonymous iTunes reviewer.
Yeah, look at our boners are still sticking up to the sky.
Yeah, just slapping them all into each other.
You can still hang a flag from these.
Boners to the sky in defiance.
Yes, to the sky in salute.
Mm.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. And without you guys, we wouldn't
make
it to 100.
Good chins.
We do have a couple 100th Frogcast congratulatory sort of things on the voicemails.
Can we call them masturbatory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we?
Yes.
They're conmasturbatory.
This one, here's one.
Congratulatory. And
there's some emails, too.
Hey, guys. I just want to say congratulations on the 100th Frogcast. And in honor of it, I wanted to review each of you. All right. Vince. You got to love Vince, because if not, why are you reading Film Drunk? Brett tries really hard for me not to like him, and it works a lot of the time. And then sometimes he'll have the funniest line of the Frogcast. So... I don't know. Brett's pretty good, I guess. Ben is meh, because, you know, he likes Transformers. And then Brendan I like, but I think I like him less than he thinks we all like him. And Laramie is not a regular, but I'm going to review him, too, because he's great, almost as good as Lindy, and he is still on TV, unlike Vince. All right, you guys, keep on frauding. Drunk on.
Boom.
Cheers. Cheers to that guy.
I think he read you like a book, Brendan.
Roasted.
You got broasted right there.
I did get broasted.
Let's see what else we got.
I hope you're not just randomly picking them.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Hey, Vince. This is Josh. I was going to tell you, I'm waiting to see A Dictator in theaters, but I really want to see the porn parody Dictator with a K or a CK. Anyway, hope this drives your show. Later, guys.
That's great.
That would be a good one. The Dictator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Dictaster.
Oh, Dictaster.
Oh. Yeah. Dictaster.
Oh.
Even better.
Damn right.
But Dictator, just D-I-C-K, wouldn't be bad either. Subtle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still the Dictator.
Makes me think you got a little like a tater tot shaped dick.
Get over here. I'm the Dictator.
Yeah.
Get
See,
on this.
Aren't you thinking that now?
Yeah.
Like a little, it's deep fried and crispy.
What? Oh, it's a Dictator.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a little fried.
It's like made with little tiny pieces of potatoes. Yeah. It's a dick. It's a tater dick. Kind of, but
it's, yeah, it's a short and stubby.
Yeah, like Latin.
Sputch long.
Yeah.
That's the term I usually use.
So I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this, but this is probably my favorite press tour interview ever. I'm still not going to see Battleship.
What?
But
aren't you required?
Well,
aren't you contractually obligated to see
no
Battleship?
No one told me I should see it, so I didn't.
All I know is the funniest thing I've ever read about it was the fake Gene Child on Twitter saying, I aided it.
Yeah. This Battleship hits a berg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I aided it. Oh, so good.
What the fuck is going to happen in Israel?
So this is Peter Berg on an Israeli talk show. Trying to talk about Battleship, but failing.
What's a nickname for Bob Benjamin? What do you guys call
him? BB.
BB.
You got Bibi, and who's his the Secretary of Defense, the Defense Minister?
Yes.
You have two men that are now dictating the policy towards Iran. It's a real mess because you've got to decide whether it's better to allow Iran to be armed and whether a nuclear Iran is less of a threat than an attacked Iran. You know, if you attack Iran now, they're going to fight you back, right? There's going to be blood. Israelis will die, right?
Yes.
No question. Would you rather take that now or let them get a nuclear bomb? It's the most serious issue facing our planet today.
Well,
more so than the movie Battleship, which I'm very excited to have
directed. Which opens this July.
This is my favorite.
Which opens May 20th at theaters everywhere.
Battleship might be the most serious issue facing mankind. I don't know if he should defer that one. That's pretty
dangerous.
It'd
be awesome if he segued into, well, the second most thing, unless aliens invade and then all the battleships of the world have to bond together and fight this alien menace with Rihanna.
This is the best pivot in the history of press tour interviews.
So then the movie Battleship, which I'm very excited to have directed, and I love Rihanna. She's a great actress and did a wonderful job in the film. And my dad was a Navy historian. And have you been in the Israeli Army?
No.
What? How'd you get out of that? Are you a draft dodger? How old are you?
25.
You got to join the Army, motherfucker.
Well... Yeah, you
How'd
do.
You
it's,
get
a
out
long, it's a long, it's
What's
a long.
What's your name?
Story. I'm Jason.
Jason what?
Holt.
Jason Holt. Don't you have Holt? Doesn't sound Jewish.
Well, my dad's Jewish.
Okay, my dad is too. You don't have to join the Israeli Army.
God. That's like he should be an interrogator.
Seriously. Wait, what? You're not. You have it. We got to get you over there right now.
Those don't look like side locks to me.
This interviewer totally caved under the pressure. He should have deflected about being like. So, Mr. Dillon, how was wrapping up Entourage?
Is he an Entourage?
No, but he looks like Kevin Dillon.
Oh.
It's the thinking man's palsy.
I mean, if you guys were going to attack Iran, wouldn't you want like someone like Liam Neeson and Rihanna and you know the guy that was on Friday Night Lights, whatever
his
name is?
Let's just say theoretically, if I was commanding a battleship that we recommissioned in order to fight. Off the aliens that Iran started.
Aliens? Iranians? I mean, whatever.
If I was going to fire some weapons, don't you think I would want to fire all the weapons?
And I mean, into
a specific grid of coordinates?
Like B7?
I can't even believe I'm asking this question, but like, does the movie at all address the fact that like all the battleships were like decommissioned? And
it does. I haven't seen the movie, but I did read the script. And basically, it was like it happens.
Wait! Are you hipstering the battle? I liked it better when it was a book about a board game.
No, it was amazing.
Script was okay. I don't know if it's going to really translate.
I mean, there's just so much going on, and it's going to be so.
You guys just didn't read the book of the board game that the movie's based on.
It's just a bunch of coordinates. This is B8.
You guys
B9.
You guys never read. You guys never read the full instruction book on the back of the box, okay?
Yeah, so I think like the aliens come and they put a dome around Hawaii, so they have to like decommission the ship that's like
the
museum.
Dude, the aliens want to party in Hawaii. Hawaii's awesome.
I know.
You can't have Hawaii.
Fucking aliens.
I like how like they were so hell-bent on getting this made that someone probably brought up like, hey, battleships, I don't even know when battleships were decommissioned. I think it was like the 70s or something, you know? And like someone probably goes like, well, hey, you can't really make a battleship movie because like they don't make battleships anymore. It's like, okay, so the aliens like put like a force field on all the boats except for battleships.
It's a computer. Jeff Goldblum's got a computer virus and he's working for the aliens and it works on everything except battleships.
They can't figure it because it's decommissioned. So it's not new technology.
And then there's like the scene where Jeff Goldblum's like, it's brilliant. Like, I don't even think to work battleships into the code.
Did you ever see Thank You for Smoking?
No.
One of my favorite parts is like the smoking guy is trying to get, like he's in Rob Lowe's. Rob Lowe's like this big Hollywood producer and he's got some movie about like Brad
Pitt. Yeah, we know
Pitt,
who he is.
Brad Pitt and some other chick up in space and they're like trying to make cigarettes sexy again. Like, we got to get so-and-so smoking again, you know, Brad Pitt and what's her face up there in space smoking up. And then someone's like, But there's no there's no oxygen in space. Like they blow up the ship if they tried to smoke on the ship. And Rob Lowe's like, oh, that's easy. That's like one line. Oh, good thing we invented the da 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 da. Yeah. Like that shit. I'm reminded of that line so many times in so many movies I watch.
Yeah, it's just a one line fix.
Yeah, wait, it's a good thing we invented the space optimizer and we reverse polarity.
Oh, like the retcon. Well, it's not quite retcon, I guess, but it's like, well, just easily explaining away the gigantic plot hole. With like,
yeah.
One single line.
Good thing we invented the da da da.
Good thing we invented the oxygen creator.
Yeah, and then you have like the newbie who to do like the expository question asking, like, no, don't! And it's like, we can smoke now because we have the flux capacitator.
He's like the by the book rookie, and he's like, hold on, I'm writing everything down, Captain.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah,
that's why they have this character.
So yeah, and Battleship is going to be a similar line. Wait, I thought all the battleships were decommissioned. Well, those are the only ships left
until the Space Accords of 2014.
Is it? It's not in the future, is it?
No,
it's in present.
Well, it's
day.
In the future where Rihanna is a naval captain.
Well, that's true. She does need to go to the Naval Academy.
I don't want to live to see that day.
Liam Neeson, I believe, probably has some sort of a naval degree to be an admiral, but. Yeah. Rihanna, not so much.
Yeah. She is a dirty, dirty piece of trash, by the way.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
I was unaware that she was... I mean, maybe I thought a single dirty, but a double
dirty.
Are you
just going by what Chris Brown says about her?
No. Ooh. Like, every time I saw her on the Saturday Night Live, and every time you see her on TV, she's just like... Every dance move is just like her waving her vagina and like smacking her vagina and then rubbing it at you. Like, ooh, you want this pussy? Come get this pussy, everybody.
What's your problem with that?
Wafting her vagina at me.
What? Just slapping her pussy?
I just think she could be a little more subtle.
What would you prefer?
You know, call it like a petunia.
And like caress it
slowly. Would you rather she do the Charleston?
Smell my petunia.
Actually, the Charleston kind of wafts vagina at you too.
Who?
The Charleston.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, with the dress.
That's kind of vagina wafting. Jesus. Yeah. It's been going on longer than we thought.
It's like, yeah, it's like she's trying to Dutch oven you with her dress.
I think we...
Come here. Why don't you come here, you old so-and-so?
Come take a whiff of this. Get over here. Take a whiff. It's a ripe one, really? Been eating veggies and fruits all day.
Organics.
You smell like you came from the harbor. All right, so should we get our first guest? 100th broadcast, everybody.
Who's
first?
We got Matt Ufford of SB motherfucking Nation.
Is that because... Is he first because he's on the East Coast?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah. What's the other reason?
That's the main reason.
Okay.
That's the reason.
Well, hello.
Hello.
How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, we're so good.
All right.
I'm glad you still got that sound effect that like makes farting sounds when you turn up your volume.
Of course. How about that?
Yeah, I love it. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He just went down a water slide. It's okay.
Okay. All right. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you for asking. Yeah. And a very hearty congratulations to you gentlemen on your 100th Fraudcast.
Yay!
We're expecting a call. If we interrupt you, it's only because the mayor's calling to congratulate us and give us a key to the city. So,
man,
yeah.
I love that you've also turned on the video. It's so nice to see all you smiling faces.
Yes, no one listening can see it, but it's okay. It's good for us. It's a party for us.
Yeah.
They'll be able to hear it in the audio that we can see each other.
Yeah, in your voices, they'll be able to hear how happy you are.
Yeah.
They'll sense our warmth and camaraderie.
Yes. So what's been going on in SB Nation?
You know, I've actually, can I just say that, like, making videos is 800 times easier than blogging. It's so much, it's fun. It's, I have so little to do. I just think about what I want to do and then... Other people help me set up shoots. I don't have to like do any heavy lifting. And then when the time comes, I just they press record and I be a jackass. It's the ideal job.
Yeah, you know, not everybody can do the heavy lifting, but that's why I got these guns. You know, but No, I'm just trying to put a happy face on this.
Blogging pythons. Vince's got blogging pythons.
Well, yeah, it's more, I would say, jerk off pythons, but sure. You know, semantics.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, Matt, can we talk about our super secret future project that I've been leaning on you to do?
Yes.
So I've been, I think it was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, it was the anniversary of the infamous "Here Comes the Pizza" incident.
Yes.
And so I had seen that video again and forgotten how much I loved it.
Which, for the listeners, is a video from Fenway where one of the Sox fans throws a pizza at the other, and then the two announcers are like, "Oh, here comes the pizza." He gets the telestrator out.
Yeah. So it's pretty brilliant. So I've been leaning on Matt to do like a great moments in like fan history. Or I think it was basically, I just said my idea was like doing like a fake oral history of people talking about it. Then, of course, the guy who throws the pizza is like a total townie. So he's a la Tommy from Quincy, you know, and everyone
Tommy
else.
Tommy Pizza.
Yeah, exactly. But there's so much to love about that video. Like, on the surface, it's really great. Beer spills everywhere. They drop the ball. There's the announcers. One guy's losing his shit.
The one announcer's
crying. Sounds like, yeah, there's the one that's the part at the end of Cannonball Run 2 where it's got the outtakes and Burt Reynolds can't stop laughing. He sounds like Burt Reynolds laughing uncontrollably. He's all like high pitched and everything. And then you got the guy with the Boston accent. The other thing that's great is the masshole who throws the pizza, he's wearing a Patriots jacket. It's a full slice of pizza, and it's at Fenway Park. It probably costs $14. And I don't know if you ever tried to throw a pizza like flat-handed. Yeah. He's able to get the pizza.
It.
Yeah, and he's able to hit the intended target. Yeah. This is not this man's first time throwing a full slice of pizza.
The pizza goes up and does a barrel roll and then lands cheese side down on the guy's jacket.
Yeah, I mean, it's just brilliant. There's so much to love about it. Beer's flying everywhere. It's beautiful.
We make a lot of fun of like Boston people in general, but like the guys at Nesson, like I think Jerry Remy and I forget who the other sportscaster are. They deserve a lot of credit for like saying like, "Screw the baseball game, let's go over this like this pizza replay in detail," and that just really gives me a lot of respect for what they care about. Like, "Oh, this is hilarious. Let's focus on the pizza throwing."
Anyone who can acknowledge like how boring baseball actually is, especially like when it's not at the end of the regular season or the playoffs,
they're probably like,
"Okay, in my book,
we got at least 10 minutes before anything interesting may happen."
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
So I did. I've got a questionnaire. Rocketeer.
I believe you questionnaire.
Yeah,
you're the one who went to word school.
That's true. Hey, did I tell you guys someone wants to like put an excerpt of one of my reviews in a textbook, an English textbook?
Shut your mouth!
I swear to God.
Excerpt from what?
One of my reviews.
What? When you were pretending to be Armin White Hammond? That would be awesome.
No, I don't know. They didn't tell me what it was.
This is how you write.
Hey, everybody.
It could be
when you're acting something out, use an asterisk and then put things in italics.
Yeah. See how when he makes a bad joke, he puts asterisk, whoopee cushion, asterisk, to indicate that he's acknowledging how bad the joke is.
Can you find all the instances of latent racism in this quote?
Sometimes he'll put something like, "Is this mic on? I was leaving anyway." You see how he uses things and steps out of character?
If the punchline lacks pizzazz, explain it overly and then add a comma and you see.
What happens when you take the Photoshop away from the excerpt?
Does it have the same power?
Is Vince Vaughn eating an ice cream cone?
Not funny, add a visual of a cat. All right, so...
Did they specify which review?
It's my Avatar review.
Nice.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's going into a book with a hardcover and everything?
I don't know if it's a hardcover.
Is this your first published material?
Into
a book. No, it's not.
My first book, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So favorite movie you've seen this year?
Oh, I feel really bad about this because I've only been to the theater like once. However, I finally saw Drive after the new year, so it's gotta be Drive.
Drive was fucking awesome.
Fair.
That movie owned so hard. I fucking love that movie.
Was it the head crushing or the baby goosing?
It was the fork in the eye. For me.
Yeah. That's an underrated moment.
I still haven't seen it.
Well.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Now, but he's selling me on it.
Yeah. All right. Favorite movie of all time?
Wow.
The Princess Bride.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, most anticipated movie of the year, or one that you would probably actually see next?
I mean, either the one I'll see next is the Avengers. Most anticipated, The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Dark Knight Rises, whatever it is.
Yeah.
See, like, dudes with capes?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, all right.
Fair point.
All right, so now Obama says that we have to gay marry someone or else he's going to keep raising gas prices.
If you and you have to buy someone else health care.
That's right. You have to buy health care for a welfare mom.
And you have to pick one of your grandparents to be executed.
Yeah, exactly.
To be euthanized.
You have to go outside and pick a bum and or an illegal alien and buy them health care. Then you have to gay marry someone.
And then kill your grandpa.
It's fucking Obama, man. What's his deal?
I mean, does that summarize it pretty much?
He is such a socialist.
What is his deal, man?
What is his deal? So now that he says we have to gay marry someone, if you had to gay marry a celebrity, who would it be and why?
I would say George Clooney. He seems like a tender lover and very considerate.
I see.
And very charming. I feel like I would definitely be charmed by him, you know?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Justin, our next guest, I think you guys met today or something like that, didn't you?
Justin and I had lunch today.
Aw.
We talked about you. We said that your greatest gift is that you truly do not give a fuck.
That is a gift. That's a gift from God or Obama.
I also marveled at how someone so lazy and uninspired is so intelligent.
Right. You know, the first thing you said, I was about to say, that's probably the nicest thing anyone's ever said about Vince. But the thing you just said is definitely the nicest thing anyone's ever said about Vince.
Man, that's like
it's usually pull out some pants and you walk your dog, neighbor.
There's a backhanded compliment that was like a double pimp slap with your hands up.
It's my favorite kind. Although I will say that whenever people think that I don't give a fuck, I'm just like, all right, you got to come home and meet my dad. Because then you'll see what truly not giving a fuck looks like.
Your dad does set the example.
Yeah. He sets the bar like way higher.
I witnessed it firsthand because we probably talked about it, but when Vince was living in the same apartment as me, his dad came for Vince's birthday, and his dad was literally just changing in the hallway. And his dad opened the door while I was in the shower because he needed to pee. He would just leave his clothes and his boxers all over the place. And then Vince said when he left, he just left the most amount of free newspapers that any human has ever collected.
Not free newspapers. My dad still gets the local newspaper every day and does the crossword. And I was like, man, old people are like reverse hamsters where it's just like everywhere they go, they like leave their own trail of newspapers.
Yeah, I was laughing because I was just laying in bed watching TV and I look over and there's Vince's dad just changing in front of my door. Like, no big thing. Hey, don't worry about my butt and balls. Hey, you've got him too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's Vince's dad is a guy who just swears so casually more than any other parent I've met, and also like was like he says things like, "Vince, you're not jerking off in there, are you? Quit jerking off."
I also love that he
spoiler he was
hilarious.
I always liked that he wore a Big Lebowski shirt to a Big Lebowski party.
Yeah,
the best part is he wore a Big Lebowski shirt to the Big Lebowski party, and so everybody would look at him because he was dressed as Big Lebowski.
He wore a robe and a Big Lebowski shirt,
and everybody would be like, "Man, it's so meta." And then like 20 minutes after my dad left, he called me on the phone and he's like, "So could you explain what meta means so I can like tell my friends?"
Also, was there a theme to that party?
He also almost got kicked out for smoking weed.
Multiple times.
He called me a pussy because I wouldn't take a puff of his joint on Thanksgiving.
Come on, pussy. Wait, so Matt, what's the most fun? Have you been able to go on location? What's the most fun shoot that you've done so far?
I gotta say, probably the most fun was Westminster Dog Show.
How was that?
This is saying a lot because I hugged Kate Upton and she called me attractive, but I'm still going with the dogs.
That was not at the Westminster, I assume.
No. I interviewed like Kate Upton and Jason Pierre-Paul, the Giants, at like some stupid PR event. And Kate Upton is very nice, and she's lovely to look at, and she's soft. But I got to go with the dogs. 2 days of petting all kinds of dogs. That was fucking awesome.
So my dog today, he was dreaming, and you know when they like running in their sleep a little bit, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
And then he woke up and he was like half asleep or like half awake, and he started licking his dick. And he was licking his own dick so good that he started doing that, like, that starting the motorcycle thing with his leg, where he's just, like, licking his dick, and he's doing it so good that he's making his own leg twitch. It was awesome.
Feels good, man.
So Westminster has been the highlight. You've been there, what, 6-8 months now? Is that about right?
It feels like that long, but we've only been... Like, the channel's been live since March 1st, and, I've been working there since December, so, like, we've done, like, a couple little things before the March 1st launch, but really, like, 2.5 months.
I thought you meant the dog show. That's a long time to be at a dog show.
6-8 months at the Westminster. That's how long it takes to judge dogs.
All right. Yeah. We gotta get to Justin here, but, all right, so pick a Mancer's tag. We've got boobs, animals, guys, drunk, girls, beer, poop, sex, bombs.
Wow.
Death, drinking, drugs, explosives, fight.
Dear God. I
would like either drunk or explosives. One of those two.
I would have pegged you as a boobs man.
You know, I love boobs, but...
But also you're just listening to the audio, so...
I see him all the time. All right, so give me boobs if that's the better.
Oh,
stuff.
No. Oh, I just already did drunk. I already did drunk. All right, here we go. This is the house that Matt built, Matt Mansard. The question that Matt Mansard.
Is it what?
It's going to start with an explosion. I'm scared.
Okay.
Oh, God. Ads. Can't stand them.
Is that the ad?
That's the preview. Let's just talk.
We're gonna have to wait for the ad.
Hey, all right.
So Matt, how many?
All right, it's coming back on.
Shoot.
All right.
Never mind.
Okay.
Buffering.
I need a Mancer.
Buffering.
I need a Mancer.
When it comes to liquor and women, variety is the spice of life, and there are so many ways to get wasted. The weirdest, wildest way of sucking the sauce involves some elderly inebriation. How can you literally get drunk on Grandpa? You heard right. We're talking about actually getting drunk on Grandpa himself. To find out how, you have to journey deep into the jungles of South America.
Why would you go that far to ask that question?
There's beer at the corner store. Yeah.
You don't understand, Brendan. We're getting drunk on Grandpa right now.
Do they come up with tastes like mothballs and bad breath.
Do they come
horrible.
Up with the Mancer first? Because if they don't, someone actually asks, like can I drink my grandpa?
Got a burning
no, that's super weird.
Mommy tribe. They have a bizarre ritual of chugging their dead grandpa mixed with beer. Help us get to the bottom of this old man moonshine.
Right,
we asked the clinical psychologist.
The Yanomami tribe use mortuary cannibalism as a ritual to pay homage to their ancestors who have died. When a member of their tribe dies, they light the body on fire and pick out the bones to grind them into ashes, which they then pour into a ceremonial drink, which is like a beer.
Which is like a beer.
The sound effects never fail to make me laugh.
I respect what Mansers is trying to do here. Can you get drunk on Grandpa? But actually, if you're just mixing Grandpa's bones with beer, you're not actually getting drunk on Grandpa.
Right.
He's just
like, that's like saying I'm getting drunk on the mint in a mint julep.
It's more like, can you use Grandpa as a mixer?
He's like a cocktail olive.
Grandpa's mixer. Yeah. So really, sorry, Mancers.
Can I get that?
You had me going with all the explosion noises, but I'm not convinced.
I'll take a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, extra grandpa.
Matt, are you saying Mancers is incorrect?
Are you vetoing that Mancer?
Screwed my whole life up. Up is down, down is up.
They also said with both women and drinking, variety is a spice of life. And, you know, I mean, of course I'm getting married, so, like, blah, I'm obviously, like, you know, not going to be seeing eye to eye with them on the women thing. But, like, I also like drinking the same thing kind of again and again and again every night.
And that's is that or is that not Grandpa?
This is Evan Williams. Evan Williams, by the way, is a bourbon, not my grandfather, Evan Williams.
But you're not above drinking some old grandpappy.
I've had some old grandpappy.
Good That's point. Not, there not you bad. Go.
And so. I actually do have a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle as well. Wow. I had a little nip of that earlier tonight.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Where can people see your SB Nation study? Do you have a separate link or is it just SB Nation?
YouTube.com/SB Nation.
Check awesome. It out.
Do it.
Gentlemen, thanks so much and congratulations.
Yeah. So we'll have you back on for like a longer actual conversation. It's not our 100th episode spectacular very soon.
That's all right. I'll see you when I see you.
See you on episode 200. Boom.
Or 102 if we don't have any guests.
Hello.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Are we on the broadcast?
Yeah, you are.
Is this just Vince?
Well, they're all here. They're just like being quiet. They're hiding in the corner.
We're shy.
Hi.
We just came from the canyon. We're really upset.
Exciting.
I really like the
broadcast.
I really like the excerpt. That was really legitimate laugh out loud moments in there.
Oh, thanks, man. Glad you liked it.
And so the book's actually out now.
The book is out. It came out yesterday. I'm actually in New York right now, going on a book tour.
Oh wow!
How's that been? Have you got any really stupid questions on your book tour yet?
No, I mostly get really, really old people coming to the book tour. Well, nobody under the age of 65 goes to a book signing.
Do you get any of like the smarmy bookstore douches that are like nose thumbing at you when you roll through there,
trying to steal books and shit? Just get out of here, you bum.
No, but you know what I mean. Like the people that work at the bookstore who are like struggling writers that like maybe I know the type because I went to writing school more so than other people. But
no, but today I did a event in like Bryant Park in New York. And this homeless guy, I was like answering a question, and I finished answering it, and then the moderator was like, anybody else have any questions? And this homeless guy just goes, get out of here!
I'm trying to take a nap, you fuckers!
So wait, he
was right. My time was up. I should have gone.
So you were just out in the park?
Yeah. It was like an event in the park. It was kind of cool.
So for the listeners, you know, you had your excerpt on Grantland. You had another one. Did you have something for HuffPo this week also?
Yeah, I did something for HuffPo to promote the book, too. It was like seven things you should know before you get married or something like that. HuffPo wants like very like targeted AOL kind of shit when you promote the
Right, and I'm sure they turned it into a slideshow.
It was a slideshow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
you
they
know
did.
Why? That's seven times the page
seven
views.
Seven times the page views.
Yeah.
Vince knows
you know
that.
Funny? It was a slideshow with no pictures. It was just like words sliding across the screen.
It's a scroll show.
Whatever. That's still 7x page views.
So your story that I read from Grantland was about finding a porn catch behind your Little League field.
I think it's a cash.
Yeah, cash.
It's a cash.
You catch the ball.
Hey, questioneers. We'll get to that.
Questioneers is like a troop of people that are asking mansers for...
they're the questioneers.
Yeah. How do you ask a manser?
That sounds like such a shitty cartoon.
Questioneers?
No, you ask mansers and then you get a manser.
Oh.
The questioneers is like the agnostic council's version of Captain Planet.
Yeah. All they do is go around and ask questions.
Yeah.
Well, how does this work?
Well, why?
I'm unconvinced.
Yeah. Oh, here comes those fuckers, the Pope of Tears.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of good lines in there and a lot of, I'm trying to think what were some of the best laugh out loud moments.
Well, of course, I always enjoy the shit that your dad said. That's always fun. I don't
so
know.
Is that a highlight?
Yeah, I don't remember the specific line. Oh, I do remember laughing when I was picturing the bums chasing after you, running through the canyon while you're holding.
That's all they had, man. That was all they had, and you took it.
It was. It was like I still have. Plus, if you've never seen a bum sprint before, like he's like in a combine running a 40, it's pretty fucking amazing. Dude, like they can really move.
We should have the bum combine.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Just at the end of the 40, there's like a beer or something. And they,
no, the instead of the 40-yard dash, they just have the 40-ounce chug.
There you go.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer physical feats.
We wear fedoras when we're bum scouting, and write in little notepads, and shake our heads like,
"Ooh, no, that, ooh, look at that one go."
I think also you'd have to see like who could weight a shopping cart the best with the most amount of bags.
That would be a good one. I was also just picturing you guys as 11-year-olds finding actual porn and just being like, "Where do I put this boner? Because it's not going to go down for a long time."
That's still, finding that porn when I was 11 is still the greatest moment of my life.
I was going to ask, how much of that do you actually remember, and how much of that are you just like completely, I do a fair amount of writing about past events myself, but I feel like everybody has a different amount of shit that they just totally make up and shit that like they remember vividly happening.
I would say probably like, well, my process is, like, I'll write it down, and then I'll go over it with people that are in the story. But even so, I would say, like, 70% of it's shit that I remember, and 30% of it's, like, me filling it in.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're – I could listen to a quote from, like, 5 minutes ago, and then I'd write it, and it would come out completely different than what I actually heard. But you feel like you remember the important bits.
Yeah, when you're 11, there's just – no way that you today you remember every tiny detail, but you
need no way. Yeah, like when I like write down like dialogue and stuff from then, it's like I'm just trying to make it like remember the important stuff, remember the conversation more or less, and then I make sure like it sounds like my dad, and you know, and then he reads it and makes sure it sounds like him. But it's like people are always like, there's no way you remember all those lines so perfectly. I'm like, of course not, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Shut up, you bum. Go back to sleep.
Get out of here.
I have to admit, when I read Olivia Munn's book, and after the first 10 pages, it was just like it was just sheer morbid curiosity mixed with self-torture. But she had all these, she had like stories from when she was 5, and it was like all this inner monologue shit of when she was a 5-year-old. And it's like, shut the fuck up. She was like her normal glib, you know, snarky self, her voice like in the mind of a 5-year-old.
Of course, that's what she was like when she was 5.
Can I ask you a question about that book?
Please.
Because I don't know, I didn't even know that she had a book. Is she kind of like capitalized on like, I'm a nerd, but I'm also really hot?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You must have not listened to like 4 broadcasts in a row where we talked about it.
We milked that fucker for a good week and a half's worth of listening.
Yeah, well, basically.
I have not. I haven't listened to the broadcast in a little while, so I apologize.
This was very early on. This was like, it was under 10 broadcasts in the single digits. But basically, this was a while ago, you know? This is 100 Frotcasts ago.
Yes.
And this was back when I just sort of thought...
Literally 100 Frotcasts.
We're super professional now.
This is, like, no, this was when I thought that...
We had a sponsor.
They'll get back to us. They'll get back to us.
This is before everybody knew exactly what Olivia Munn had to offer. At this point, I just thought, oh, she's kind of like this cute... you know, sort of maybe funny chick from G4, and they sent me the book, and the initial press release that they sent along with the book was like, isn't it great? Olivia Munn wrote a book in like 4 weeks. Isn't that crazy, you guys? And meanwhile, I'm reading this as a writer going like, this is going to be fucking awful. But I was actually genuinely curious to see like, you know, to see if she would grow past the... I am a hot nerd. And then the entire book was like about how she was a hot nerd. Yeah.
Pander bear.
I fucking hate that. Yeah. That's the worst thing ever. And like, nerds eat it up because they just like, in some fantasy land, they're like, ah, it's got to be true. But they have to know that she would never fuck anything.
They rescue her. They always rescue her. She's always in trouble and they outsmart whatever it is yeah. she's in trouble
not
from.
Not only that, not only
nice try, football man. I outsmarted you.
All of your basket hoops were no use to you.
All of your athletic skills and good looks can't help you now.
Not only that, not only do the nerds think that there's some chance that they're going to score with her, like the nerd girls where you're like making fun of Olivia Munn for being a total fucking panderer and all this shit, like the nerd girls will actually come to her defense because like there'd be some girl that like is this 47-year-old chick who like writes for Star Wars.
Geek is like, displayed prominently in her Twitter handle and or like, bio.
Geek Lady Star Wars 69 says, how dare you say girls can't be nerds? I'm just like Olivia Munn. It's like, no, you're not. I'm pretty sure.
Get out of here, tall, handsome man. I'm here to save her.
Yeah. Get out of here, tall, handsome, ripped blogger.
She is tired of your talk. She wishes to speak of comic books and Star Wars.
I'm going to save her, and then we're going to be friends.
No, seriously. I mean, there was like that whole... I mean, I'm sure the people that read Film Drunk remember, but when I was like making fun of that chick who played... it's Jamie Alexander. I forget what part she played in Thor, but I was making fun of her stupid interview on some show, and then she got mad at... And then like all the like chicks that write... all the chicks that write nerd blogs were like, oh, look at this guy. He says all women should just go back to the kitchen and not like nerd stuff. Absurd. I was like, that's not what I was saying at all. That's what I implied.
Well, and I think the point that you also made that was so great was she was like, she totally like pandered to like the Conan audience by being like, yeah, I'm a geek. I read Spider-Man and I like Star Wars. And like everyone like claps their hands. And like the point you made is like Spider-Man and Star Wars are both like fucking cultural phenomenons. There's been like dozens of movies made about Spider-Man. He's got like four different comics. There's six Star Wars movies and billions of dollars worth of merchandise sold. Like how this is not a niche thing that you're into.
I am a super big fan of Doritos and I got beat up in high school all the time because I like Doritos. Yeah, hey, I'm just coming out and saying, you know, if you like Doritos too, I'm with you, brother.
I don't care who I offend. And then it turned into three different things. It was like me questioning her nerd cred, which I wasn't, because like if there's two things that I don't ever want to hear people argue about, it's like whether they're nerds or like whether they're punk rock. Like I could give a fuck about either of those things. I was just trying to make fun of the dumb cliche where you say you like Star Wars so people applaud. Yeah. Yeah.
So Justin, what does a 2012 book tour entail? What's on the schedule?
I'll tell you what it entails. Going on the 100th episode of the Fraudcast.
Yay!
Yeah.
Do you want to be our new sponsor?
That was the must.
You told your manager, like, look, there's one thing I got to do. If I don't do this, book sales through the floor.
I'm like, Oprah can wait. I have to go on the podcast.
Come on. She records 5 days a week. They do it once a week.
That's true. Well, let's see. I'm doing like 14 cities in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So today I'm in New York, or today I was in New York. Tomorrow I have a book signing in L.A. And then next week I'm in like Portland and Denver and Seattle. And then I go to Toronto and I do like Boston, places like that.
Jesus, they don't even
mind. The weird thing is like sometimes you'll go and there'll be like, you know, 50 people there. And sometimes you go and there'll be like 6 people there. So it just seems like a total waste of time.
Why aren't they doing them in order? Why aren't you doing like New York, Boston, then up to Toronto?
Because
then...
that would make sense.
I know, yeah. I have no idea why. I guess it's because like whenever the bookstores want to do it. But the thing is that like Toni Morrison wrote a book and that's coming out right now. And so every time we would try to book a bookstore for a book tour, they'd be like,
sorry.
Well, we have to wait and see what Toni Morrison does. So that's why my book tour's all fucked up.
Hey, we're clearing our whole schedule for Toni Morrison, so we'll get back to you.
I wrote a book. It's called Doo Doo My Pap Pap Says.
I would buy that.
Oh, my God.
God, I'm trying to remember if it was Toni Morrison I read or someone else who writes lyrical...
Oh God! I had to read Song of Solomon in high school, and it was unreadable.
Is that Toni Morrison?
Yeah,
I'm trying. It was some other. It was either her or some other black chick that writes lyrical memoir, and it was like awful.
Well, she wrote this one book where it was like this. It was like the whole plot was building, and then like the guy just flaps his arms and takes off at the end. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah, it's like magical.
Dude, that's
realism.
How my book ends.
Oh.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
On wings made of pornography.
Shit, my dad says before he raped me, and now I'm a ghost narrating this from space.
So, hey, how does it work? Do you just travel solo, or do you have some sort of people that, like, entourage that you travel with?
Is there a helper and wrangler?
you get, like, a wrangler at each place you go. But the last time I did it was pretty awesome, because one of the cities I went to Bakersfield. And when I went to Bakersfield, this dude who was, like, clearly messed out of his fucking head, and somebody paid him $20 to pick me up. Like picks me up. He's like, "Hey,
does it give you a piggyback? Hey, hop on."
He goes, "I gotta make a stop. Don't worry about it." Like he said that unprompted.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
And we just showed up to some house, and then we fucking stopped there. I'm just waiting in the car, and the guy goes in the house, and then he comes back in the house, and then he takes me to the book event.
Hey man, I had to check up on my old lady.
don't worry about it at all. Not sketchy. Wait here.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a question here for all of our guests for the 100th Frogcast. Favorite movie that you've seen this year?
Undefeated.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's the documentary about the football, high school football team.
Yeah, it's classic white guy rescuing a bunch of African American kids, but it's really good. I like it.
You let me show you the handshake of my peoples.
It's a lot of that.
They do that, yeah.
But it's really good. It's actually a really, really good documentary.
Is his name like Steve, and then all the black kids call him Mr. Steve?
His name's Steve Undefeated.
No, I think at one point in the movie somebody calls him Mr. Coach.
Ah, nice.
Ooh, that's really good, actually.
Like, my goal is to one day be rich enough that I'll just have, like, this giant plantation, and then all the...
Jesus!
Well, not plantation, I mean, you know.
And then all the gays will be on the other side of the fence.
Where they can't get to me.
Alright, so I was thinking South
because
American...
Because I didn't let them go to school.
I was thinking South American plantation,
really,
not like...
so much about
not
you.
Like, not
if
like
I'm not mistaken, you just wish for us to go back.
I was not thinking of pre-Civil War plantation. That came out badly.
So the gays are on the other side of the fence,
I
right?
I meant like in like...
I would own such a large oven.
I meant like in Belize.
So I'm on this plantation, right? I've got an oven that's disguised as a shower. No. You can fit like 100 people in
I
there.
I just want a
the
bunch
gays
of...
are on the other side of the fence. They can't even get in because they're in their own country.
I just want some South American manservants to call me Mr. Vince. That's all.
How did that help? How did you recover?
Well, because it's not black slaves. That would be racist.
Good catch.
They're brown
catch.
Ones.
Yeah. Oh, man. Vince... your plantation with no gays.
Mr. Vince, please do not whip me today.
Yeah, hey, good story, racist.
Yeah, all right. I didn't mean plantation with slaves on it, okay? I just meant like a hacienda.
Like, I pay them. They're
the evidence
workers.
Is really piling up.
I just want them to call me Mr. in my first name, that's all, okay?
Mr. Vince.
I improve their lives. They call me Mr. in my first name.
I pay them money.
And then everybody
I
hugs.
I pay them American
everybody
money.
Everybody hugs at the end.
I pay them $1/100.
Emma Stone taught me this. Hate you guys.
Oh, man.
Emma Stone solved racism.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Not for you.
Not well. Apparently not.
You're still running rampant in your system.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the help. That was my problem.
Didn't get the vaccine
saw,
in time?
I didn't get it.
I only saw the trailer.
It didn't take.
Me and Lindy are going to have to do like a whole seminar. She's just going to sit. She's going to be like Clockwork Orange.
I'm sure she'll be on later.
Sit down. Yeah. We've got a lot of work to do.
Sit down. Can you take a seat?
We're here to help you. We're here because we care about you.
All right. So... any movie? Would you plan to see another movie this year? And if so, what?
I definitely want to see Prometheus.
Yeah.
The 3D trailer before Avengers of that? Oh my god. Boner City.
Stupid Vince's stupid week early screening didn't have any trailers.
They don't have trailers.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Wait, so, Vince, are you getting into an early screening of Prometheus?
Yes.
Dibs.
Fuck, I was drinking.
Wow.
Yeah, suck it.
I saw Moonrise Kingdom today also.
How's that?
It was like if Wes Anderson like farted into a coffee can and then saved it in his freezer, and then Wes Anderson like huffed it, and then he swallowed it in his stomach, and then he like farted it into a bag, and then Wes Anderson took more of that and just distilled it into like 1,000 more Wes Andersons.
And then drank it with his grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. If Wes Anderson went back in time, like Terminator, and had sex with his own great-great-great-grandmother, and then just kept doing that throughout history, so where it was just like...
Past nastification?
Yeah, it would be like 10 different generations of Wes Anderson banging his own heir.
That Wes Anderson would then make a movie.
Yes, exactly.
So you're saying the movie has lots of Futura font?
There's a lot of yellows, a lot of... Like, pretty much everything, every different pattern of plaid that could possibly be on the screen.
I never knew so many patterns of plaid existed.
Kids! Kids! There's been a deadpan accident at the plaid factory. Hold on. Let's talk in code. Is Bobby here? Check. One-armed kid? Check. Someone else whimsical? Check. Wait, will this all be center-framed? Dramatic pause. It's like everything's a giant dramatic pause, you know. Because that's a Wes Anderson thing.
I'm sensing like a Patton you think Oswald it was bit? Derivative.
I did, but you know, at the same time, I kind of like Wes Anderson, so it was like, it's like watching someone you like self plagiarize themselves, and you're not sure how you feel about it.
Do you think his right. fun quirks are becoming pathological at this point?
Yes.
Where it's like it's not so much funny anymore. It's like, oh shit, that's full blown alcoholism.
No, I feel like it's like.
Yeah, like your fun buddy in college is like
fun. Uncle Jimmy is now like railing lines off of some whore at your bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's pathological. I think it's like you said, Tim Burton. I think it's the same thing with Wes Anderson, where he needs something to challenge him to get him out of his comfort zone.
I did say that. That was an important thing for me
to
say.
It was, and I don't think Wes Anderson necessarily wants to do that. I feel like he probably wants to do stuff like Fantastic Mr. Fox, but because he's Wes Anderson, he probably has like 100 people coming up to him all day being like, hey, Wes Anderson, when are you going to do something really Wes Anderson-y? Give you a lot of money if you just do something.
I picture him
really
having an
Wes
agent like in the video for, oh shit, what was that video where with the fake Eazy-E and he's got like the agent?
Dre Day.
It was Dre Day, yeah. I work for you, Sleazy E. That's the kind of people Wes Anderson is.
Hollywood's got to be weird where you've got an army of lackeys just reinforcing and fortifying your comfort zone.
No,
you live here now. It's safe in here. Well, just keep thinking the same exact thoughts. Justin, we're going to milk you like a cow.
Justin probably sees it firsthand with the TV shows where there's people that, this is how I get paid. No, seriously, this is great.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, there's guys whose whole job is to tell somebody else they're awesome.
That's a great job.
Do you have...
Hey, Justin, you're awesome.
Do you maybe have a grandpa that you could write a book about, like shit my grandpa says?
He's dead.
All right, so next question on the questionnaire. President Obama says that we have to gay marry someone or else he's going to keep raising gas prices.
And make us drink our grandpas.
That's right.
And make you go buy a homeless person health care.
If you had to gay marry a celebrity, who would it be and why?
Oh, McConaughey, for sure.
All right.
Loose cannon.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That guy, I mean, come on. I mean, that's sexy, guys.
He's a handsome man. You could do worse.
Yeah, he likes to smoke weed and have fun. He likes to...
First of all, if you're gay, but your boyfriend's Matthew McConaughey, even straight dudes are like, yeah, you did pretty well.
This is true.
Yeah, they're like, you outkicked your coverage, buddy.
All right, and lastly, if you had to gay marry a Frotcast personality, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's also easy. Of course, Brendan.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're a bottom.
I'm just saying I want to feel safe.
That is a fair point.
All right.
Thanks, Justin.
All right, so you guys should all buy Justin's book, I Suck at Girls. And if you're going to buy it, you know, just throwing it out there. You can always go to my Who Say page and click on recommendations and maybe give me a cut of that.
Or just type the keyword fraught into something. Like an, yeah. like an ATM. Just keep trying. Or...
if it doesn't work, just keep trying.
Just dial it into your phone.
Justin, are there any preferred places you like people to purchase it, or is it anywhere?
Purchase it off Vince's page. That sounds good.
Goddamn right.
All right. Well, good luck with the book tour. That sounds like... is it helicopters and jets or jetpacks? It's quite a long list of places you're going.
Definitely. I'll see you guys in San Francisco for the tour in June.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, you will. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Good luck with the book tour.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Woo! Book tours. Yeah, they didn't really logistically plan that one too well. Yeah. So you're going to go to New York and then Oregon
We're going to shoot you up to space and then right to the bottom of the Earth.
You're going to circle the East Coast a few times for momentum, and then you're going to shoot over to British Columbia.
We dug you a hole over in Africa. You're going to jump in that hole, and you're going to jump out of the hole, and then we're going to put you down in the Marianas Trench.
We're still waiting to hear from Tony Morrison. James Cameron's living down there now. He set up a little apartment, a little studio apartment.
Is he down there in his little diving bell?
No, he's
diving bell. Oh.
So we're going to send you to the moon, then Marianas Trench, back to the moon, to Mars, Marianas Trench, Saturn.
Oh, fucking Saturn. That place is full of hicks.
Oh, fucking Saturn, man.
What are we calling, Vince?
We're calling Professor Bernsey.
Oh, yeah. God, Professor of Miami.
You the secrets of the universe, nothing more than whatever the secrets are here. It's Memorial Day.
Whoa. I don't know, but it's exciting. No, let it play. I want to see how that goes.
I wanted the secrets of the universe.
What's happening this Memorial Day?
Hello?
What's happening this Memorial Day?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yay.
Hey. How's it going in Swamp Town? We've got echo.
We have an echo?
Yeah, you gotta turn your speakers down.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Now talk to me.
So, how do you feel on the eve of the 100th Frogcast? I mean, how would you rate us so far?
This is really exciting. I'm glad I can be a part of it, considering you wouldn't have me on for the first 70 Frogcasts.
Was that 70? Was that where you made your debut?
I don't remember. It's been so long, and it's been wonderful. Everyone is a miracle.
That's the way that I feel.
Mm,
A miracle a week.
That's right.
Well, I just want to thank Bernsey for introducing me to so many amazing YouTube clips and songs, and letting me know so much gossip that I would have been unaware of otherwise without us little Filipinos.
Well, you can die without enough gossip. Fact. It's like a vitamin C deficiency. Where you just don't get enough information about important people maybe dying or maybe giving handjobs.
It's like scurvy.
It is exactly like scurvy.
You have to have one Us Weekly in the ship, or else everyone is going to get rickets. So, Bernsey, if you had to pick a favorite Frogcast moment of the 100 Frogcast, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. I got to say, I've always been very fond of the... Of the porn name game.
Mm.
That was fun.
Vince,
I've never been a part of it, but I've always been fond of it.
Oh. The porn name? Wait, you mean the Seagal or porn star game that everybody hated?
No, where we pick.
What's his face?
Oh yeah, where we pick porn parodies. We pitch porn parodies to the
Leroy.
Porn stars. Yeah,
that was fun. Yeah.
I thought of a good one.
I admire the guy's work so much. I'm whiffing on his name right now.
Leroy Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Seymour Butts.
We did it for pretty much all the porn stars. We pitched them on.
It's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
So I got a good one for Moonrise Kingdom. Manrise Kingdom.
I would have gone with Poonrise.
There's that.
And Poonrise wins.
Also thought of Moonrise Schlongdom.
No.
Moonthighs Peendom.
It's too far. So, Bernsey, what is your favorite movie that you've seen this year?
Oh, man. I guess I'm going to... I don't remember what I've seen this year. It's got to be between, obviously, The Avengers, because I absolutely love that movie.
That movie was awesome.
And I'm a huge like back in high school, me and comic books were like, you know, BFF.
Like Sticky and Pages? So there's no Sticky way Pages hell I BFF? Thought
they could have made a good movie out of that, but blew me away. Fantastic. That or probably The Vow. Because I mean, that's The Vow, 1A, 1B. Right now, was the funniest movie that I've seen this year so far.
Did you actually see The Vow in the theaters?
Yes, I did.
That's the one with Channing Tatum and Rachel M.C. Adams, as C. Yep. Tates likes to call her.
Is that the one where she loses her memory?
Yeah.
Yeah, she loses her memory, and he has to make her fall in love with him all over again.
He has to remember her.
We call it 51st Tates.
Oh, my God. Right. This is all gold, you guys.
This is all gold.
This is really,
you guys should use this on Film Drunk.
There's a scene where he owns a recording studio. That's his gig.
Oh, my God, the irony.
And there's a scene, but he's in like an emo band. It's fantastic.
Does he put on long?
He's all depressed, so he goes into the studio and he's playing guitar by himself. And I'm in a theater with like, you know, like 150 girls. And that scene comes up and he's just strumming the guitar and I just burst out with pants pissing off.
And you got 150 girls to turn back and look at you with this disgust?
Oh, if they weren't so fat, they would have wedged themselves out of their seats and started yelling at me.
Oh, wow. So does he play MC DJ Booth?
No, he was like a hipster. It was so funny.
That is so not C. Tates.
Does he put on
like
long
yo
bangs?
Girl? I'm gonna put on some like French CD or whatever.
But that's his range.
It's true. He's got a lot of range.
Yo, girl, I'll tell you something, but you probably never heard of it.
Yo, girl, I'm gonna get you a soy chai or something.
You read that book about battleships? I like that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that movie.
Dude, are you going to see Magic Mike with us opening day?
Absolutely.
So,
is he going to be up here? Out here? Over here?
We should really have a Magic Mike premiere event.
I don't know what Magic Mike means.
Brinsley lives in Miami.
I do not know what Magic Mike means. It's going to be the movie of the year.
Channing Tatum was a stripper back in the day, okay. And he got Steven Soderbergh.
It's his life story.
Exactly. It's up there on the screen.
Was he really a balls-out stripper?
Just C. Tates is Lizzie up on the cellulizzle.
Was he really a penis and balls-out stripper?
I don't think they actually have those.
What?
Except
porn. They got to wear, you know, the banana hammocks. And...
What? They don't pull their junk out?
No.
Well,
why would you even do that job?
Why would women pay for that? I mean, if there was like I go to a place and girls are just dancing in bikinis and not spreading their legs with their vagina open, I would never pay a dollar.
That's true, but you know,
I'm not paying anything unless I can take a shot out of your butt crack,
right?
Unless you can suck on a lollipop that I hold the stem of in my mouth while you put your vagina on.
What?
Don't act like you haven't seen that before.
How are they sucking?
I was in the room when you saw that happen. We all know what happens at bachelor parties. There's just like they have these weird like shot glasses that they put in their vaginas that they must get at like Sally's house of like twat shots and
pussy pops.
Yeah. True story. I accidentally ordered like 100 of what are probably vagina test tubes.
Really?
Yeah, off of Amazon. It was some
mislabeled weird as animal bones? How did that happen?
I was trying to get like popsicle sticks or some shit.
Hey, are these the shot glasses that the squirrels are these the test tubes that the squirrels could drink out of?
I got like 1,000 vagina ready test tubes sitting in my back porch.
I don't even know what vagina test tubes mean. What does it even mean?
I hear these tubes are very much what squirrels like to drink out of.
What does that even mean?
You're acting like you haven't seen these either now.
Vagina really? Test tubes?
Like the things that they take the shots out of with their vaginas.
Remember In Cahoots in San Diego, that country bar?
Oh, they're like test tubes.
Walk around, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Don't act. You go to a birthday like every weekend. Don't act like you've never been to a bachelor party.
We take so many shots out of some random chick's vagina. You have no idea, bro.
Yeah.
No idea. So Magic Mike is the story of the man that does not take his junk out of his
It's about
his
vagina test tubes.
True story.
He runs a store where he sells these test tubes that the strippers use to take shots out of their vaginas. And he's like, hey, how about a
Sally's vagina test tubes and pussy pops?
How about a lollipop instead? And she's like, oh, that's a great idea.
These are non-toxic for your vagina.
It's actually the sequel to the Vagina Monologues.
It's Smear One Imports.
Oh, beautiful. On the ball with that shit.
Oh, Vince loved it. Oh. Vince likes puns so much.
So much. I mean, not as much as Brendan.
Well,
Brendan likes saying them. He doesn't like when other people say them.
I hate it when other people make puns.
He will glare at you so hard if you steal a pun opportunity.
He likes thinking them and then saying them and then saying them again. Let's get to my favorite question of the evening for Bernsey. Oh, we've already gone over this for Bernsey.
What?
It was John Hamm.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
people
were
complaining that no one picked
him. No, I think he actually picked John Hamm.
All right, well, Bernsey, if you had to gay marry a Frotcast personality, who would it be and why?
Oh, my goodness. This is such a tough question because I don't want to offend any of you.
We're already offended.
Every one of us.
We're pre-offended.
Oh, man. I guess I'd have to go with Ben.
Oh, boom. I've got a husband. Bernsey, we're gonna have a great life together.
But
I'm
why?
Really
why? You have to explain why.
Because he's the most mysterious. And I'm also not threatened by him, so I wouldn't have to worry about him beating me.
Okay.
Oh, you know nothing.
I've been in some very dangerous gay marriages before, so I have to trust.
Some very violent gay marriages.
So you're not worried about your children coming out Jewish motorcyclers?
We're gay. We can't have children.
Yeah, how dare you, Vince?
You could adopt?
How dare you? No. What?
The you whole point of being gay married is trying your hardest to have butt babies.
Okay.
And if you die trying, you at least died trying.
That's true.
That's the words I live by. Die trying to make a butt baby.
At least that's how I understand
my
it.
Tombstone.
I may be completely
died.
He died trying to make a butt baby. It was weird for everyone.
But he tried his hardest.
It's embarrassing for all involved.
And it killed him.
The end.
And it has to be in a gas station bathroom.
Yes. Okay, Bernsey, now we need you to pick a Mancer's tag. We've got stripper, sports, explosives, fight, bombs, cars, chicks, death, drinking, drugs, explosives, girls, poop, animals.
Brendan's just begging someone to take poop.
I'm like Billy Madison. Cross the fingers.
I'm gonna go with chicks.
Okay. Let's see what we got here.
How do you have these lined up? Is this a spreadsheet? Do you fucking put this shit in Excel?
No, that's okay. You can pick the tags.
That's a Google Doc.
You can pick tags.
He's an internet maestro.
Oh, it's
the blogging pythons. It's all that. Saw that cell clicking. Yeah, to the left. Macro.
Did you
macro.
Get your blogging slacks fixed? You're not wearing them.
No, my dog ripped them. He ripped them good.
He's the only one that sees them. What does it matter?
Well, I want to look good for him. He's a good dog. He deserves the best from me.
You deserve to look professional in front of him.
That's right. That's right. He does
Daddy,
not.
Daddy has a job, honey. Daddy has a job.
Now, Daddy's going to work over here on this couch.
No. Daddy's office is at home.
Daddy likes to work with his boner out. Daddy needs to be alone for a little while. Mm. Or get over here and help out.
I always wonder what he's thinking when you're naked in front of him. Here we go.
I always.
We should cut Ben off with explosions every time.
You're a busy dude. You got places to go and shits to do. You got no time to waste hanging out with babes who are lousy legs. So, where can you find babes who are best in the sack? Is it your local watering hole? The cocktail waitresses there are always flirty as hell. But according to a study by the University of Texas, most waitresses only flirt to increase their tips. Why not try hoochie hunting at a hippie con?
Coochie hunting?
Don't pretend that you've never gone coochie hunting.
Hoochie hunting.
Oh, hoochie hunting.
Those vegetarian chicks will gobble your gork all night long.
Whoa. That is not something anyone has said before then, ever.
Bernsey.
That is a brand new sentence.
It's like they got someone Dutch to make up new slang for it.
Bernsey, now that we're married, you better be ready to gobble my gorp.
Jürgen, Flürgen, Blork.
Just hope you don't walk in on me gobbling.
You trying to find someone to hammer your trout steak?
Gobble your gorp.
Well, a study at the University of Canterbury found that if you eat meat, she won't eat yours. So you ain't getting any free love at a hippie concert. But there is a perfect poon poaching paradise. If you want the hottest action, you gotta know where to look. Where can you find babes who are best in the sack? It ain't at the bar or the hippie happening.
Tell me where it is, you bastard!
By the way, this is all whether or not you're going to get laid, not finding girls who actually are going to be good in the sack.
Yeah.
They did do a right turn there, didn't
and
they?
And they only really checked two places so far. So
hippie town? Well,
you're not good in the University of Canterbury, hippie festivals, or a bar in Texas.
Bar in Texas.
No, but only the workers there, not the patrons.
Yeah.
Should you go to a tractor pull in Houston? We asked a science mistress from the University of British Columbia.
Should you go to your strip club? We asked a wizard from Maine.
And he said, professor of anthropology?
What's that?
We took a poll of 60 lobster fishermen.
And they said they'd never gone to a strip club and had sex on the dance floor.
We read a book we found on the bus!
We dressed Andy Serkis up like Stephen Hawking and we'd ask him questions about space.
And he couldn't answer none of them. But
hippie happening. Dude, you gotta seek your freak at a feminist rally. In two separate Rutgers University studies, psychologists found that dudes reported being more sexually satisfied when they were banging a feminist. Women's limits come a long way, baby.
That's the worst bad advice I've ever heard.
That's
in my
just straight
life.
Bad advice, is what that is.
Well, because there was no study showing that girls were bad in bed anywhere. It was just that they didn't want to fuck you. And it's like a groundbreaking study that shows the waitress that wants better tips from you isn't trying to fuck you.
Who the fuck is getting their masters at Rutgers doing a second study on whether you can bang a feminist?
Not to mention, I'm sure the guy who's like, oh yeah, I banged a feminist and it was the best sex of my life. We did this thing that we read about in the New Yorker and it was totally
it
crazy.
Was so
I have to imagine it's a very small sample size in that survey.
I'm sure it was just a bunch of guys that described themselves as feminists who probably, you know, like to brag about all the crazy sex they're having because they're so smart.
Lots of holes to poke in that study.
That's
where you get.
What'd you say, Bernsey?
I said they didn't even touch each other. It was like Demolition Man. It was emotional sex. I just stared into each other's eyes.
I was on a hike in Hawaii and we were just hiking around. And we walked in on this random couple that were Indian style sitting across from each other, just like with their hands out. And I was like, that is some hippie shit right there. What the fuck is going on? Are they about to levitate up into space? It was weird. They didn't touch. I think they were having sex.
I bet you.
They weren't touching.
I remember seeing Demolition Man in the theaters and like it was like four of us and our friend's dad took us because we were in like fifth grade, I think. And our friend whose dad it was, got it. We sat separately from the dad because we were just starting to get to like.
Did you make him sit by himself?
No. And yeah. So the dad sat by himself. I don't think he cared. He was probably really happy he didn't have to deal with us. But then during the like whatever virtual reality sex scene, I remember the kid got up and sat next to his dad.
What?
Yeah, he was all like weird. I was like, I gotta go, guys. And then we like made.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Was that Justin?
No. Justin's dad never took us to a movie. Yeah. I've been friends with Justin since like kindergarten. I think I met his dad in high school.
Who the fuck are you?
We've talked about our friend Justin on this podcast before. I can't remember exactly what it was in reference to, but the day that I met his dad, his dad was in the pool house, and for some reason Justin brought me in to meet him. I don't know why it was like a thing that I needed to like meet his parents, but. Like his dad was watching some TV, and so Justin like brings me in, and I'm like waiting.
His dad doesn't like to be interrupted.
I'm just like standing there, and his dad is literally like like bending over sideways so he can see around me at the TV. like fully, like where his back is like, where his spine is like at a 45 degree angle from the ground.
I love it because I could picture it so well.
Oh, it's so easily.
It's like, I don't want to meet another one of your jackass friends. No. I want to watch this goddamn television program.
And you know what? I understood. I don't know why he would want to meet me either.
You know what's rough is I lived at their place for a while. They were nice enough to let me crash there while I was moving to San Francisco. I am so going to be his father. I identify on such a level where it's just like, oh, who's your jackass friend? Don't care. Already doing something else. See you around. I'm going to swim naked in the pool. Fuck off.
Yeah. He has like so many hobbies. Like, I'm going to brew beer this week. Oh, this week I'm turning my house into a vineyard.
Oh, update. I do that too.
I got a text message from Justin saying that his dad's beer gave him diarrhea.
Oh, no.
I did like that he was also growing a bunch of earthworms for the garden.
Yeah. He had an earthworm farm.
While I was there, he came back from Big Five. He's like, turns out you can't buy a rifle if you don't own X amount of land, and I just want to shoot the fucking crows.
I just really like the earthworm farm for the garden.
Yeah, and he had like compost.
Yeah, for the earthworm farm.
I need compost for the earthworms, and then I need earthworms for the farm, and then when the crows come, I shoot the crows, and then I kill them to grind them up for the compost for the earthworms to eat.
Circle of life.
That's right. One hand washes the other. Bernsey, we thank you for your contribution in bringing us to 100 Frogcasts.
Oh, anything I can ever do for you guys.
Bernsey, do you prefer Hot Goss or Bernsey's Corner?
Be such honest. A tough call because, you know, I miss bringing you guys videos that you would never normally find on your own.
And I appreciate that, too. And now that you're my husband, I appreciate it even more.
But at the same time, I feel like I have to be able to let you guys know that Kate Gosselin and Octomom are posing nude together in Penthouse, and they'll be peeing on each other in a 69.
A 69P!
Oh. First ever.
Whole new position.
How does the bottom one work?
You just push really hard.
It trickles down.
You push so hard.
They're suspended. It's like a gyroscope.
it's like the Gravitron at the fair.
It's like a broken fire hydrant at that point.
Well, thank you, Bernsey. All of these segments were supposed to be 10 minutes, and I think that we've gotten 20 on all of them. But hey, you know, we couldn't okay cut you off because we liked it.
We're okay on time, buddy.
Yay.
Thanks, Bernsey. I look forward to our wedding.
Yay. Lots.
Oh, shit. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't know he was still talking. I was going to press it after I pressed the applause.
Which is a drop at the end or something.
You want to see
where
my
you see
dick?
My dick? Where do you see my dick?
Go beat that pussy up.
Hello?
We gotta hold on to what we fought.
What we fought.
I didn't say stop.
It doesn't make a difference if we make it all fried.
I was gonna start with like, Vinci used to blog on the docks. Brett's been on strike. But I couldn't really make the whole thing work.
Oh, you could, though.
I have more time, I guess.
I do appreciate the effort, though.
That
was beautiful.
Laramie, did you see Battleship this week?
Oh, you better believe it.
Did you bring the board game and play it during the movie?
I did.
I'm following along.
I felt like my strategy was just as good as the movies.
Did you fire everything?
That line wasn't even in the movie.
No!
No!
What line?
I am filing a class action lawsuit.
No, where he's like, what weapons, sir? All of them.
What should we fire? What should we fire was the question. And the man, sir, was all of them.
What should you fire if you're on a battleship fighting aliens inside of a bubble in Hawaii?
The absolute... did you see it, Vince?
No. I saw
the absolute craziest part of this movie you will never, ever guess as long as you live.
What do you mean? I read the script.
Rihanna has a dick.
It's a dream sequence.
None of us are going to see it, so...
Yeah.
It's so cray-cray, the very end of this movie. What is the cheesiest thing you could possibly think of in a movie called Battleship?
You sunk my battleship.
Nope. Of course, they're going to get a battleship, right? Like, that's a given.
It's actually Candyland?
They're going to get the museum battleship to head out on the mighty seas, the USS Missouri. But who's going to man that battleship?
The one underwater? A ghost?
The aliens.
No, the Arizona's underwater. The Missouri is a museum in Hawaii, so who would man it? Because remember, all these newfangled sailors don't know how to man.
Teddy Roosevelt?
The old man.
Ronald Reagan.
The old men will man the battleship.
Yeah.
Hemingway?
So that happens. That happens in the movie.
It's just like a bunch of old dudes?
Who were like the museum guides. Who like served on it in WW2.
Well, we do know that they have decommissioned battleships, and we are curious if someone that has actually seen it. Is there a line something like, every ship is out of service except for these decommissioned battleships. We've got to bring them back.
Well, what's really silly is they paint, I mean, the battleships they paint as relics, which they are, they're decommed, but they were in both Desert Storms.
Whoa, 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 enough with his lingo. What does decommed mean?
Decommissioned.
Slow down.
Yeah, so, my older brother was on the Wisconsin. He was okay, a battleship so sailor.
We were asking about that earlier. I figured that they were decommissioned. They were all decommissioned like the 70s or something.
No, no. The last one, I think, was decommissioned in like 98 or
Bravo,
something.
Bravo, Alpha, Deco, Gamma. We've been decommed.
Art Deco, Gamma Squad. So on
Breaker, we've been decommed over.
That is not the NATO alphabet.
Over what's your 20, Echo Charlie? Echo Charlie Fartnox.
It's killing
Foxtrot.
It is killing Brendan.
It's not proper.
It is like the
NATO phonetic alphabet.
Vince just laid down the anti poop.
Victor Mike.
I don't know if you go stars or if you go grades, but however you do it, what would you give Battleship?
Like negative.
Oh, it was terrible.
I mean, you're going to see every review make a metaphor to how it is really, you know, just the state of the movie industry. This is it. Just big, dumb explosions and Rihanna under her umbrella.
Did somebody say, did they ever say you sunk my battleship?
No.
What?
What?
I mean, it's a legit logical nightmare. If you watch it, you will come up with 100 things that don't, like, okay, guess, here, true or false.
You can spoil it all because no one's going to see it.
True or false? The aliens have a fatal flaw.
It's
true.
All right. Well, what is that fatal flaw?
Well, how about this? How about this? Before you answer it, Laramie.
Answer it.
Okay. Is the fatal flaw more or less stupid than the fatal flaw in Signs?
Is it the same one? Is it the ocean?
I would say it's an equal in stupidity.
Okay.
Their fatal flaw is battleships. Same.
It's coordinates. They don't understand coordinates.
It's Rihanna.
They can't operate
it's Rihanna's voice.
Two-player games.
Think about it. If you're a scriptwriter, you need something free, readily available, that humans have in spades, right? Have a ton of.
Poop?
Moxie.
Grit. No. No, it's the sun.
That's so equally as stupid as Signs.
Why? It's the sunshine.
That's it. I would argue that's stupider. Okay, I could win a street law case.
All the fucking aliens and Signs should just disintegrate because there's water in the atmosphere.
War, and well, there's also sunlight.
Yeah, it's
in
everywhere.
Space.
It's all over the place.
Well, the very first thing they explain is that they found they found this perfect planet that has the correct distance from Earth to the sun. So it's a Goldilocks planet, right? It's just right. It's got all the perfect conditions. What about any of those aliens invented sunglasses before they did anything, before they evolved at all? The first thing they came up with was tinted windows.
So, Laramie, in the script that I read,
how are the aliens able to do anything?
You shut up, Alpha Foxtrot, Echo, Charlie.
Those were all legitimate NATO alphabet.
Delta.
Yes.
Delta Foxtrot.
You're going back to the
Zulu.
Backtrack. Backtrack.
Okay. Zulu West. Weston.
No. Whiskey.
I think Weston's correct.
Whiskey.
Hyatt.
Weston, Sheraton, Hilton.
We should make them all crappy, like waspy names, like Auden, Braden.
Chauncey.
Motel 6 on your telly.
Nickelback, Papa Roach, Creed.
They're all lacrosse names.
You got Chatsworth, a Chauncey Damien on your 6'4". Yeah.
This is we got John Denver with a bogey on my 6.
We got a Chauncey Dakota with a Cody on our...
You can't use two C's. You're
ruining
everything.
Shut your mouth!
Yeah, there's only one C.
All right, so Laramie, in the script, there was like 10 pages of flashbacks where it was showing one brother really cares about his brother. Did that make it to the final?
Bros are in the Navy.
Did it start with like 15 minutes of flashbacks?
It starts with one bro is really responsible. He's a commander in the Navy.
But he goes nuts when someone messes with his brother, right?
The other bro is like the irresponsible one. And he finally does enough where he goes, "You're joining the Navy!" So he gets him in the Navy. And the dude is a lieutenant by the time we see him. So obviously he had a college degree. you know, even as a 26-year-old guy who gets in bar fights. He still went right in as a, you know, JG. Fine. Fair enough. Guess what? He's still not real good with authority.
Yeah.
That's going to shock you, but this guy doesn't really play by the rules.
Is he a loose cannon?
And his, you know what, his stubbornness and his refusal to follow, you know, proper methodologies seem like a weakness.
Wait. So later it becomes an asset?
I mean, it really does. That stubbornness and that will that so worked against him through the officer chain really starts working for him against the aliens.
Hold on, Laramie, I think we have a clip from the movie.
If he has such a healthy distrust of authority, how did United States Congress entrust him with a commission?
It's a lot of good questions.
Because he just had so much raw talent.
Moxie, if you will. It's as if he were the son.
There was this commanding officer. He saw something in him. He's like, you know what, son? You are a menace, but you know who you remind me of?
Myself.
Well, before you play that clip, let me let you in on one. Let me peep you to one more fact. True or false? Right before they go out on their battle ops, whatever it's called, the Pacific Warfleet games, when he gets back, he's going to be kicked out of the Navy. He's going to be drummed out, summarily drummed out, court-martialed for getting in fights.
This is like
so he's got one last weekend to prove himself.
Too much moxie.
When Adam Carolla does his bad movie pitches, a lot of the things that happen are like the really good soldier, except he has the problem with authority.
Yeah.
And he punched out the commanding officer that wanted to leave people behind.
Yeah.
You know, which is funny because then the Marine came out, which was like that role.
Yeah. Oh, there's a thousand.
Yeah,
movies.
Yeah, there's so many.
All right. Here's a clip that we got from Battleship.
Well, whether you're really in the mood for romance today or not, hey, there's a movie that suits pretty much anybody's Valentine's Day needs. Joining us now is our film critic, Laramie Legal from film.com, to share some of his favorite films that deal with love. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
To you.
Do you have big plans?
We read turtlenecks in the audience.
This is an ambush. This is ridiculous. I was enjoying myself talking about Battleship.
This is some gotcha journalism.
Go.
Keep
gotcha-ing him.
Big plans involve going home and maybe watching The Bachelor or something like that. So, yeah, something exciting along those lines.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, I know you have something to watch for every kind of person.
Yes, we have 100 movies to get through.
Please list
some
stuff.
Oh, my gosh, you better hurry. Do you like romantic movies?
You know, no. I really like romantic comedies. They're like candy. You don't want to have too many of them, but I like that there's not going to really be a third act twist usually or anything like that. Romance is going to be really hit and miss. I don't like cheesy romance, but I like if you earn the romance, so we can talk a little bit about that.
Like
Battleship does.
We should do a regular segment where we bring Laramie's morning show on and then have him answer the questions live versus against the live audience.
Laramie, what number really guest am I tonight? Am I like 12?
No, you're the only guest, Laramie.
Well, Laramie, we only put you last because you're the only one on the West Coast and everybody else, it's like midnight over there. So,
dude, was it a murderer's row tonight?
Oh, yeah.
We had...
They killed it. I said they killed it.
It's oh god! It's just like Ben said. You gotta do.
I figured you'd bring up MTV buying my life.
No, I was gonna ask that.
Oh, I'm not even aware.
Oh, so MTV bought film.com. What's the deal, man? Are you gonna have to like go to DJ booths with Ben Lyons and?
I'm out, dude. It was a power play.
Really?
Yeah, but I did. I created a list of jobs, and I'd like you to score them in terms of feasibility.
Wait, you're out? You're just you're gone?
I'm gonna freelance some, I think.
No, but so like somebody else bought film.com, and now they're just like, oh, peace? Like,
I mean, I got a high five.
No, but
than a peace sign.
But so they just wanted
butt slap on the way out.
Did they just want the? I mean, because like when you buy a website, it's either you can just buy the name or you can acquire some of the talent with it.
Well, yeah, they did acquire the talent, but that didn't include me.
Oh, really? Who did they take?
All the writers.
Like who?
Like Snyder and...
They took Snyder, but not you.
Oh, Snyder's phenomenal. I'd take Snyder for me.
I think Snyder's great, but that's bullshit.
No, I'm still writing for him. I'm just not producing the site.
Okay.
I'm not. But I have the list. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I'm excited.
Please shuffle it. Rub
it on the microphone. We'll hear it that way.
He was hiding in his butt, so no one stole it.
Hold on. Before you get to this list, I have a clip from Battleship.
No, you don't.
I want to hear it.
You're such a liar.
Rom-coms. I love them. Notting Hill's one of my favorite
movies
of all time.
Oh, I love
Notting
Hill. Yeah.
About me, oddly.
It's a little about me.
Okay, so the best movie for singles.
single. You just said it, right? It's good.
Can
for singles.
We get that as a drop?
Cameron Crowe film here in Seattle shot. Early okay. Pearl Jam work go. In there. Early okay. Paul Giamatti cameo. Jeremy Piven as well.
I don't think I ever saw this movie.
Well, it's good because it shows a relationship you don't really want to be in.
So sorry. Oh my God, Larry, I love Notting Hill too.
If my spirit wasn't broken before.
Cheer up, you got included in the voicemails. Like you were always the fourth.
You really
the fourth broadcast guy.
We're doing this to him on the day he got fired.
There's already four of us.
I know. But they're like, I love Vince. We come to the site for you. We love Brendan. You're a super, super bro-y dude. Ben, you're kind of there. And Laramie, you're like the fourth broadcast member.
No love for Brett.
No love for Brett.
No.
Oh.
Everybody does love you. I'll say that.
Hey, Laramie, I want an honest answer, and I want it now. Do you really love Notting Hill?
I think I do. Yeah, I think I do love Notting Hill. Is that okay?
That's okay.
That's fine.
That's okay.
Tell us.
That one really quirky character.
Hugh Grant?
The guy who's like naked and eating cereal and whatnot.
Oh.
The roommate.
Never seen it.
I've never seen it, but I just guessed that the quirky one.
Someone has
Grant.
A wacky friend.
All right,
guess.
Laramie, let's get you hired. What do you want to do?
Scale of 1 to 10, jobs I should go for.
Okay.
Number 1, guy who grouts.
Ooh.
I think I can grout stuff, right?
It's not very hard because when I did construction, I had no idea what I was doing, and the guy running the job was like, hey, grout this. And I was like,
well, then that's perfect.
Okay, right? And then it's easier than it looks or easier than it sounds or whatever.
So you're going high on that one.
Yeah, that's an 8 or a 9.
Laramie, are you grouting your microphone right now?
I could grout it if I had to.
You're shuffling very hard.
Which brings me to my next one. Mouth hooker.
Now that is a 10 to an 11.
Okay. That one pays pretty well from what I understand.
Yeah, but you're taking out, you know, your best quality, which is, you know, the
sweet ass.
The sweet caboose.
This next one I actually have a slogan for.
Okay.
Personal dog assassin. And I'd be man's best friend's worst enemy.
Also an 11. That's really good.
If you have a dog and you need him taken out.
There on a 1 to 10, I'm going 20.
You stepped on his second tagline. He's got 2.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying if you want a dog taken out quietly, you know what I mean?
See? That's 2 taglines.
I really like...
I'll take your dog for a walk.
No, that's good.
I like man's best friend's worst enemy.
Oh, that's like a third tagline.
That should be a new Jason Statham movie.
The dog walker?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I have a very special set of skills.
Don't, Tommy.
The dog sporter.
Dog walker, Texas Ranger.
There you go. Back on top.
He's back. Boom!
Guy who places tiny ads in newspapers?
Because they're so hard to get so small.
I don't know. And then this last one's kind of conceptual, but Josh Jackson impersonator? I think I could be good at that.
You would be great, but where does that earn you money? Where do you go with that?
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I mean,
how many episodes of Dawson's Creek are there?
Oh, thank God. I wasn't sure who he was.
I think there were, what, 5 or 6 seasons?
Isn't he on Fringe?
Yeah, yes, people love that show.
Yeah, you could
really?
You could be a stand-in on Fringe.
Paula Cole, wait in line.
Hey, I feel like the Dawson's Creek Trapper Keeper episode of South Park is still one of the greatest ones of all time.
Pretty good.
What about just being Richard Simmons?
Larry,
are you living on
the streets now?
I know.
Sounds like he's disassembling a rifle over there.
Larry,
talking about Richard Simmons. Well, let's hear you, Richard Simmons, Laramie. How is it?
No, I would just be him.
Come on, everybody.
This wouldn't be an impersonation at all. I would just be Richard Simmons.
Like you'd hollow him out?
I don't think you want to be Richard Simmons.
He's got a weird dick.
You ever run backwards through a cornfield?
Guy who grouts is probably number 1 on this list.
No, stop it.
Okay, so
dog assassin.
Laramie, honestly, yeah, you got to do the dog assassin.
Dog assassin is pretty good.
But on a serious note, like so you're just going to be freelancing now? How's that work?
I'm going to live off the fat of the land.
Laramie, serious suggestion. You should probably put Dog Assassin on Craigslist. With the tagline as, I'm your...
I will kill your fucking dog.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some freelance stuff. I've got some...
Freelancing? Yeah, that's what Dog Assassin comes in.
Me and Ben Lyons are working on a spec script for an ABC pilot.
Is it called, like, homie and the dude.
Bro-ing it up.
Yeah. Are you just going to be like a permanent morning show fixture?
Does now? That pay? I'm also waiting for my Frogcast residual check.
Oh, we all got $30. Also, side note, do you want to be our new sponsor? Because they're not coming back.
What?
Yeah. Maybe. Can you believe that hold shit? On,
Brendan threatened to cram all of their products into their own butts.
Yeah.
We have a new Frogcast sponsor. I just have to play a live read from them.
So that's why it's good for singles. You're like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
I'm
not,
okay.
At least I'm not unhappy, right? That's something. About a Boy, I would throw there in there as well, because Hugh Grant starts the movie very, very single and seems to have a pretty nice life. I mean, he complains about it, but yeah. It looks pretty good to me.
I
and meets
that
Rachel
movie.
Weisz, and of course, it works out in the end for him. But it's a non-traditional single.
Very non-traditional, right. But it has that great line from the boy in the movie who says, you need backup.
That's
in life.
Right. You need
and
more than one island. Yeah,
exactly. Best anti-Valentine's Day movie.
If you're just angry with love, I would suggest War of the Roses.
Ooh.
Michael Douglas, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a big reaction out of the crowd for that one.
People love that one.
Oh, man.
What, how big is the crowd for these sort of events?
Oh, it's anywhere from 30 to 50.
And what time of the morning is this?
They start taping at 9:45.
Okay. I was thinking it was like 7 in the morning. And they're just,
No.
There's just red turtlenecks at 7 in the morning.
Do the makeup ladies, do they ever draw eyebrows like really high on your head like a chola so like you seem excited the whole time?
What they usually do is like really go to town on my underneath my eyes because I look like a heroin addict at all times because I have those really dark black circles.
Yeah. Whenever I go on those shows, I like double Spanx it. You know, like I put one pair of control top underwear and then like another one just in case the
and
first one
bra.
Slides down.
And a sports bra. Yeah, just speaking real quick, speaking of eyebrows, Eastbound and Down. Every time that they put Stevie on with different eyebrows, fucking slayed me.
Oh my god, that was amazing. Yeah.
It slayed me. Oh my god. Anyway, that's the side.
The absolute worst ask on the morning show is the walk-on. So usually you start the segment just seated, which is natural, and you just start it. But every once in a while, they have you just walk out and wave to the audience, yeah. Which is really weird.
Like, hey, everybody.
Hi, I'm here.
I'm
yeah,
a guy.
There's no natural way to do that. You
I'm
never
a guy
do
that you don't know. Hey.
Hey, I'm here to talk about
you
movies.
Never do that going into a room.
Yeah.
I do. Every party I've ever been to, just slow wave. Hello! Hello!
Well, I guess a lot of the things I've been investing time in don't ever pay.
Yeah.
So,
I hear Field and Stream needs a new.
Here's
line
the thing,
editor.
I like.
And I don't
Fields.
Do fetish stuff.
I'm not huge on streams.
It's not what I heard.
How'd you lose your sponsor?
No, they're
just considering. They're reconsidering.
Totally not my fault.
No, we didn't lose it. Not. It was actually only a 2-episode contract. I would read a live read for them just to like make it look like we're more worthy of sponsorship. But I don't want to give live reads away for free. That's not what I do. That's not what we're about here.
No,
you know what I mean.
We're just about.
You don't get this fraught ass for free.
Hey, if you want some dildos and butt plugs, I don't know where you should buy them. I don't know what promo
code
you should use.
Could be anywhere.
To, okay, hey. Go down to the hobo down the street. Just buy a dildo from him.
Bum
just,
shack under the 101. Grab a dildo.
Ask
the
hobo
dildo
where
pump.
He don't get his dildo at.
I don't even care where you say you heard about him from. Just, man, get yourself a butt plug. Whatever.
Dude, or don't. They, were you don't getting get paid like on commission? Like, or were you had to like a flat fee?
No, it was.
Well,
we
got
a flat fee,
but they want a return on their money.
Yeah. Sure, they do.
They want an ROI.
Yeah.
Typical.
I got to see the greenbacks.
I got to see the numbers, and let's just say we sold a lot of dildos.
We did. We sold a shocking number of dildos.
More, like, we sold about 14 times more dildos than I thought we would have sold.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get into the full line item, but I thought it was mostly anal beads. Like, over 80% anal
beads.
Yeah,
they didn't give us... dude, I would love to see the breakdown of
products.
Yeah. Product breakdown.
With names. How many dildos did you buy, Brendan?
Yeah. What if they had names like IKEA, so it was just like this person bought a Bjorn and a Yarpie and
a Yarpie.
What would you do with 12 ball gags?
What wouldn't you do?
I've got plans.
Fuck 12 hookers.
Boom.
You could get your dog assassin job started is what I'm talking about.
Personal dog assassin.
Yeah. You gotta hire him to kill your dog. It's not just any
come
dog.
On. It's not a
he's not just gonna go shoot a stray. That's fucked up.
I will kill
and
your
you know what? That doesn't
dog.
Pay.
I'm not a monster.
So, Laramie, are you staying in Seattle?
Yeah, I think so. Why? Are you coming to bank with you guys?
Yeah.
You need Benedict?
You can bunk here.
Bunk up.
Benedict.
Bunk up.
He called your dog Benedict.
It's Bennett.
I'm trying to make him sound more proper.
No, he's pretty.
Or betray.
Usually when I kill a dog, I don't want to know its name.
Here, boy. Goodbye.
It's true. You probably shouldn't have him live with another dog. He'll know a dog's way so well. Dog.
I'm disassociating already, Bennett.
So is the wife, is she going to be the breadwinner now? Is that?
She was already pretty much that.
Okay.
Yeah. She's already way more successful.
Not much changed.
She has killed so many fucking dogs, Vince, you have no idea.
But let me ask you this. Is she doing what she loves?
No.
Okay, she kind of is. Damn
is
it.
She? What, she like teach retarded kids or something?
No, she gets to yell at people all day. She loves it.
Oh, like retarded, my God. Does she yell at retarded kids?
Basically.
Vince can go either way in his dream. He's either like, I just want to be their hero or their worst enemy. Either way, I'm happy.
Does she work on a plantation of retarded kids? They call her Mrs. and then her first name.
And there's no gay people.
Mrs. Laramie.
Someone needs to stimulate the job creators.
I'm Mr. Laramie. I pooped myself again.
Clean it up, Mancini.
Someone stimulate the job
creators. You know, he
said
he wanted to live on a plantation halfway through the broadcast.
I meant a South American plantation. That's totally acceptable. Like more still, like I meant a hacienda.
So he said,
I want to wear a Panama hat, and I want there.
You can just wear a Panama hat.
It'll be like Rudyard.
You can just buy one.
I
want to
be like
store.
Some sort of Rudyard Kipling where I got a fucking one of those pith helmet.
His goal?
I wanted a pith helmet and a sword
Rudyard
with a knife
Kipling
on the
Kipling did not wear a pith helmet.
He did too.
Let's just share
he
with Larry.
He shot mongoose.
He went to Jumanji.
He wrote a story about Mongoose.
He trapped Mongoose in his pith helmet. That is everything I know about Rudyard Kipling. And then he sliced it up with the knife on the end of his big old gun.
I think that's Rikki Tikki Tavi.
He had a big old gun with a knife on the end of it, and he used it to cut up mongoose.
I mean, those are all facts.
And then he lived on a plantation, and they fed it to him, and they called him Mr. Rudyard.
Who overserved Vince?
You
life.
Did.
Life.
You did via Skype, Laramie. How dare you?
Who wants more mongoose, Mr. Rudyard? They would say.
They used to call him the Kip Dog, though.
Or the Mud Kip.
No, well, that's what they called him when they would teach him the handshake.
What's up, Kipper? What are you up to?
The bro shake. The Kip. Yo, Kip.
Rudy Kip.
Man, Kip just got another fight. Let's go
fucking
bail him
our Kips.
Kip, you're leaving us? You got another job? And then they get all mad, and then he gets to go work with Michelle Pfeiffer at the new school.
Now, who wouldn't want to sponsor the only podcast that talks Kipling?
Because they turned around the school so well that she got a job to work at the new upscale like charter school.
So
but
they'd hire Rudyard Kipling to come in and work
at exactly. He had to bayonet people.
This is just absolutely gone off the rails.
I dare you.
Does Laramie get any questions?
This is a sad day for
is
the
Is someone
broadcast.
Transcribing this idea? This is gold, people. This is gold.
100 fraudcasts, and this is where we
well,
are.
Well,
started
I mean,
with such jubilation, and now it's just.
We're already. We just swoop right into the hangover. Cynicism.
Brendan, if you were an ad man, what would you. How would you pitch this show? Do you have a tagline for us?
I lost track.
I mean, for our broadcast. I was switching subject.
How would I pitch?
You know, like, I want to cram it in my butt.
God, that was such a good tagline.
Yeah.
Okay, it was probably your best. That was your madman moment.
Just, okay.
Just
you ready?
Just to relive past glories.
Are you pitching this one or all of them?
Hold on. I want to relive past glories first.
It's definitely irreverent.
So, because Brendan's suggested tagline for if he was a Kit Kat pitch man was...
I want to cram him in my butthole.
No, just butt.
Just butt.
Just butt.
Oh, in my butt.
But yes, I like the new one, too.
I want to cram him in my butt.
It was a strong butt. It was like, I want to cram him
in my butt.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So for the broadcast, I guess I would say the Film Drunk Broadcast. I want to cram it in your butt.
Oh, in your butt. So Kit Kat's going my butt.
I like
the broadcast,
you know,
goes in your butt.
He doesn't reinvent the wheel.
Broadcast goes in your butt.
You know, he plays like
back to the well.
He takes it to the old ink well. He takes it to a new place, but he doesn't forget his pop sensibilities.
Right. Yeah. I guess Don Draper, he'd probably do some like weird thing like the broadcast. It conjures up memories of butt jokes. I don't know where you go from there. I got nothing.
It's a jocular spectacular.
Hold on, I gotta
You got a promo.
Oh, actually, yeah, we have a promo we have to read for our next sponsor.
Spoiler alert, that one does not end well.
No.
So it's
no.
Definitely anti. Why would I say Kill Bill? It's not really a Valentine's Day movie. And I would throw the English Patient in there.
She
because
that.
It will make you sleepy. You know, and if you're hoping
she didn't
for.
Did you like that movie?
I thought it was very slow. It was very slow. I mean, I guess it is romantic technically,
yes.
But I would like
why
more to happen
roasted?
In my. I'm more of a movie.
Laramie Legal, this is your life.
We just want you to hit bottom so that you come live with us in our shitty, yeah. Shitty nightmare.
Nobody wants that.
Come be my dog's caretaker.
/ assassin.
You can just call me on the phone and be like, yeah, he's licking his balls and doing that foot thing again. It's pretty crazy.
Well, Laramie, maybe you could train Vince's dog to be a killer of other dogs
or
and go
just,
out with you.
You just train Vince.
That's not that
I would need a dog cover if I'm there killing dogs.
Like, oh, I'm just walking my dog. Don't
How
worry
can I
it.
Kill a dog? I love this dog so much.
Oh, it's just like The Professional.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The window peeps.
All right, Laramie, we got to wrap this up. Do you have anything that you would like to say?
Like, I'm sorry?
Like a rebuttal. Like a rebuttal.
Well, so now that you're not on film.com.
Do you have any embarrassing clips of us?
Where are you? Yeah. Where can people find you now besides the Twitters of the world?
Thank you for following me.
Just like in a trailer park or something, I think.
Grind.
No, I think I'm going to write some reviews for film. And if anyone needs a pretty low-priced film reviewer, just let me know. I'm really good with adjectives.
And Morning News. If anyone needs a new movie reviewer on Morning News.
Yeah, basically any free work anyone has for me, I enjoy. It's my thing.
As do we.
Did you guys play voicemails or what?
We had a couple emails we got to read.
I actually did get a little love. They were nice to me this time.
Nice.
I did have a couple that we want just before we go.
All right.
A couple quick ones. We had a Kate Bosworth story.
You going to be Blue Crush?
I know. You're kind of.
What do you mean? Why can't I read it?
Because you're slurring, McGee.
I'm not slurring.
Yeah,
how dare you?
You're like a slur.
Frat Captains, it is my distinct pleasure to share with you this story of intrigue, betrayal, and feces. I grew up in a suburb of New York City, famous for its famous residents. Among those residents was one Kate Bosworth.
There you go.
Kate Bosworth, who lived in our town for a few years during middle school and the first year of high school. She is much older than I. I'm aware of her behavior from a good friend. He is the youngest of seven brothers and sisters. This seems like unnecessary information.
Yeah,
according to him, one of his older sisters was best friends with Kate when she was about 14. They got in a fight over something trivial, as teenage girls do, and as retribution, Kate Bosworth took a shit in his family's cabana at a prestigious country club.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to end well, but it did.
It did, right? Yeah. Needless to say, this would not stand, and Kate Bosworth was henceforth banned from the aforementioned country club for life. I'm 99.5% sure this happened because she did live in our town. This kid has no reason to lie, and Kate Bosworth just seems like the kind of chick who would take a huge dump in your cabana just to spite you. Keep up your great work, and congrats on 100 frots.
Boom. Yeah, I do see her as a cabana pooper.
Yeah.
What's a cabana?
What?
It's like a house for rich people that sits
pool.
Outside of the pool.
Well, there you go. I don't know what that is.
Have you ever been
it comes
a
with a cabana, boy.
It does. Is there another email, Vince, or is that...
Do you want to hear the Guy Fieri, Tom Brady story?
I felt like that was long.
This one doesn't have quite an ending like the other one does.
It also didn't really make that much sense.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
All right. Well, then let's put this one to bed.
All right. Laramie, thanks for coming on and enduring our embarrassment.
Thank you for the invite. It was so fun.
Laramie, good luck with the dog killings. I can't wait to hear how that goes.
Yeah, I'll find something. I'm young.
You've got a lot of dog killing in your future.
Ben loves that idea.
That was
so
such
much.
A good line.
I hadn't thought about how bad my life was until you guys pointed it out.
But
no,
that's what we do. We help
I'm
you
your,
hit bottom, so I, you give up.
I'm your best friend's worst enemy. That is amazing.
Those are both really good taglines.
Man's best friend's worst enemy.
Before I was hitting bottom. Now I know.
I'm writing that up right now.
Man's best friend's worst enemy.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the invite and congrats on 100 episodes,
Boom.
People.
Thanks, Laramie.
Thanks.
So proud of you guys. I'm
proud of you. We couldn't have done it without you.
What are the chances you can get us on TV5?
Oh, God, do it.
Excellent.
We can you can get us all on there, like an entourage of yours.
Can we like shuffle in during the segment so that it just starts with one of us and then we like quietly like sidle
no,
in?
They'll ask us our favorite rom com and we'll all just start shouting lists,
making fart noises
over and each other. And then another thing is, I have a funny joke too. Let me say my funny joke, and then
I was going to sneak you in as like a Genesis cover band, but you went the other way, like you would go with movies. That's
we could walk on like in the I Can't Dance.
Yeah. And the weird masks.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, it's been fun. I can't believe it's been 100 Frogcasts. Let's make it at least 7 more, guys.
Minimum.
At least.
All right.
Colin Shenanigans.
All right, everyone. Colin Shenanigans. That was a classic moment. It was a good retrospective. If anyone wants to put together a retrospective of our first 100,
hold on.
I don't know. I'm halfway Colin Shenanigans just because I feel like if you had. Even like
is Colin Shenanigans his brother? Is that his rap name?
Yeah. Can I get a Shia LaBeouf?
That was good.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, Shia LaBeouf is going to tell you about how it's important that someone is peeing on a lawn somewhere.
Shia LaBeouf? What the fuck?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
Shia LaBeouf and Bono.
Shia LaBeouf.
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 Oh, bringing it full circle with the Laramie.
Full circle
with
the Laramie coming in there at the end. All right. Well, it's been a great 100 episodes. All right. So, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
Excellent. Thanks to all our guests, Justin Halpern, Matt Ufford, Laramie and Bernsey. Until next week, good night and good chins.